You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
November the 5th, 2020, and we still have mail-in ballots arriving in battleground states such as Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Nevada. The Trump team has argued ballots received should not be counted at this point, filing lawsuits to stop it. Also pointing out observers not given meaningful access, in other words, where they can actually see a postmark on a ballot and see the signature and compare it to what's on file. The numbers now, Biden supposedly with 264 Electoral College votes, only needs six more to win. But if you begin to take away Wisconsin, which has been given to him, there's 10 votes. If you take away Arizona, that's another 11. And if it goes away from him and goes to Trump, that changes things dramatically. And yet we still have other things going on that are going to try to keep this going as long as necessary, and in my opinion, as long as we need to find another ballot with Biden on it. I'd mentioned in the previous segment, the previous hour, in Pennsylvania, ballots received within 3 days after November the 3rd will still be counted. I mean, if they come in tomorrow, they're still going to count them. And even if it's ineligible to see the postmark or the date, they're just going to assume, oh, they were mailed before 8 p.m. on election night. They're going to assume that. And in North Carolina, ballots can arrive up to 9 days, 9 days after election day, and they will count them. And in Nevada, they're going to count ballots that come in 7 days after the election. In the meantime, we've got some of these states saying we're making progress, and where we're seeing progress, Biden's going to win. Biden's native state of Pennsylvania, one of his spokesmen says, the data from the majority of outstanding ballots will be for the vice president at the end of the day. We will win by a sizable number of votes in Pennsylvania. 20 electoral votes up for grabs in Pennsylvania. In Arizona, they say Biden's lead had dropped to just under 69,000 votes by midday today, but they still feel confident that Arizona will come in for Biden. Adding, the story of Arizona is one where Joe Biden is going to win. Neighboring Nevada, they should be releasing some of the latest vote totals about now. Remember, they put everything on hold yesterday, saying we're not going to report anything until around noon tomorrow. Georgia, also one of the states, still not reporting complete election results, but we're indicating we'll be releasing it around noon. Well, we're past noon. I have not seen the update numbers. In the midst of all of this, the Pennsylvania State Senate Republican leaders are calling on the Secretary of State in Pennsylvania to resign immediately. Immediately. Senate Republican Joe Scarnati says, I expected that we would have some incompetence, but I didn't expect the Secretary of State to weaponize her position to swing the election. And of course, all of this mail-in stuff started because of China coronavirus, Chinese, Wuhan. Remember? That's why everybody's saying, oh, we're going to have to do more mail-in. That's why more mail-in is there, and the more opportunities for mail-in, obviously, if it's not checked, if it's not received in time, they'll do what they can to make sure it gets counted. Colorado, of course, they took a Senate seat away from the Republicans. It went to John Hickenlooper to go to the Senate. But there's also something else that happened in Colorado you should be aware of. They rejected Proposition 115. It would have fined doctors up to $5,000 and a 3-year license suspension, possible misdemeanor, if a physician performed an abortion after 22 weeks. In other words, no, we'll still be able to abort that baby that late. And the majority of Colorado went along with it. You want some bright news? I've got it for you. Orange County, it is possible that a couple of congressional seats in Orange County, Democrats won in 2018, will be flipping back Republican. It's possible. We don't have that finalized yet either. Orange County used to always be a strong Republican hold. But the Democrats decided to start moving in there and start getting their votes counted. That once reliable Republican county choosing Joe Biden over Trump, just as it took Clinton over Trump in 2016.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
We are slowly returning to normal as we knew life before COVID. Still, you need to be cautious. Make sure your business, school, place of worship are safe. Now, that's where Wellington Environmental can help. You can schedule professional fogging or deep cleaning with just a phone call. I'll give you a number. But first, you should know Wellington Environmental now offers fogging equipment you can use. These individual units are in high demand. Wellington has them available for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. Save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional fogging, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I think even though we intellectually understand what America is at its base, right, that there is a great amount of racism, anti-blackness, anti-wokeness, this idea that political correctness is some sort of scheme to destroy white America, right? Like, we know what this country is, but you still, part of you, I think part of your heart says, you know what, maybe the country is going to pay off all of this pain, the children who were stolen with a repudiation. And as the night wore on and I realized and it sunk in, okay, that's not happening. Mm. We are still who we thought, you know,
almost
unfortunately.
Every incumbent in the country is going back to their office.
Go right back in. It's disappointing, you know, and I emerge from this disappointed.
That is Joy Reid of MSNBC along with Rachel Maddow saying, even if, and they're convinced that Trump will not win, what he did was trigger more racism. He said it's all part of the effort to keep blacks suppressed. Well, we've been down this storyline so many times. Because the left has been pulling that race card repeatedly, misquoting the president from that remark that there are good people on both sides, wanting to claim that he was talking about Klan and the Proud Boys when he wasn't. And how many times has he said repeatedly, I repudiate them? And look at his platinum plan to help black Americans, which includes making it a federal crime, hate crimes be a federal crime, and lynching would be a federal crime. But they still want to push that narrative. And they're doing it in the face of the numbers that just have surfaced in this election. And they're not complete. But if you're talking about minorities, Trump got something like 36%. 36%. For somebody who's afraid of the brown menace, they were endorsing him dramatically. That won him Florida, as a matter of fact. And when it comes to black Americans, he's showing 12% supporting him. Last time around, he got 8%. This time, 12%, a 50% increase. So I guess those black Americans, they're selling out. See, the left has no problem labeling someone else an issue of racism, but they put themselves past it. And yet, let me give you a prime example of what Joy Reid did. I don't have her on that soundbite because I was looking at other material. But in the process, during the network election coverage, she made a remark, a racial slur against Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. They were talking about outstanding ballot accounts and maybe going to the Supreme Court with them. Joy Reid sounding the alarm, well, that conservative-controlled bench would favor the president. And then she kind of put on a fake Southern accent and said, do any of you guys trust Uncle Clarence and Amy Coney Barrett and those guys who actually follow the letter of the law? No. Uncle Clarence? You know exactly what she was doing at that point, and they loved it on the left. Because to them, we can continue to say Trump is responsible for the racial divide in this country, and yet they are continually feeding the fire themselves. Perfect example. We discussed this to some extent previously, but he's back in the fire, which won't bother him because he's going to stand up anyway. Ice Cube has been criticized dramatically by members of the left and black Americans, upset that he worked with President Trump to come up with the Platinum Plan. That Platinum Plan would create 3 million jobs for black Americans, would see $500 billion for economic, educational, financial investments in black communities all across the country. And yet he's been accused and charged with helping Trump look good. Last week, Ice Cube had told Fox Business host Maria Bartiromo he likes the fact the president's plan is aimed towards black Americans. He said, that's the key. I just think whatever we do, we've got to be aiming it toward black Americans. And he pointed out when he was trying to push around his contract with Black America, he contacted Democrats, reached out to Democrats last month, said, let me talk to you what I think we need to do to help black America. And you know what they said? We'll get back to you after the election. Don't call us, we'll call you. When he reached the Trump campaign, they said, come on in, let's do it right now. Help make some adjustments to the president's Platinum Plan. So he did. And he continues to get heavy backlash, mostly on social media, because he's working with the Trump White House. And even SNL did a sketch mocking him for praising President Trump's Platinum Plan. He said, F you, SNL. You're trying to reduce me to greed. That's not what we're about here. He said, let me get this straight. I get the President of the United States to agree to put over $500 billion of capital into the black community without an endorsement. That's right, Cube didn't come out and say I'm endorsing Trump. But I got in to do it without an endorsement, and you ends are mad at me. He used the word I want. And he finished the tweet saying, have a nice life. Cannot work with the Trump administration or any conservative unless you're going to be labeled as Uncle Clarence, or now Uncle Ice Cube, I guess. And again, Joy Reid and Rachel Maddow were just so almost giggly about, you know, what the media has done right in all of this leading up to the race and then through the night. Just listen to this.
Pat the media a little bit on the back. I think that we did prepare ourselves in advance that this was not going to be a, you know, night of the big election night you know, here is, voila, here is, you know, the president.
I said think that, though, prepared. But I said it, yeah. But I didn't know until I tried to live it that I didn't mean it. I intellectually figured right. that out and talked about it on the show and yeah. talked about it with multiple guests and knew it intellectually. But going through it last night, living through that experience, oh, yeah. this is not going to be last night, I realized my heart must not have been in it because yeah. last night did just feel fraught.
Fraught, I guess. Confusing and not living up to what we expect. And that, you know why? Because the mainstream media was echoing all the posters saying Biden's got a 12-point lead in Pennsylvania, 7-point lead here, 12-point lead there. In other words, everything was showing Biden was going to be a total runaway. If there were going to be a landslide, it was going to be Biden. And you heard Matt Allen Reed say, well, yeah, I kind of believe this going to happen, but then again, you know, we're just going to accept the fact that we're still going to win, but we didn't really buy into it. Yes, you bought into it. You bought into it. You were selling it left and right. And to that extent, Molly Hemingway of The Federalist was on with Laura Ingraham last night on Fox News, and they were talking about how these polls are set up like this. I mean, when they're constantly ignoring legitimate polling data, when they're constantly pushing forward an agenda, you have to see the media pick it up and run with it, and it just verifies for you the media is also complicit in trying to rig the election. If you keep telling people over and over again, Biden is going to be the winner, going to be the winner, and look at these numbers, our polling numbers show, and the pollers blew it. Once again, they failed to get it right. But they had a storyline, and the mainstream media at that time was willing to buy it, didn't question it, just went with it. They acknowledge, yeah, last time around you guys didn't get it, but this time we believe you. But as you heard Joy Reid and Rachel Maddow say, well, I didn't really buy it. They're trying to CYA. That's what they're doing. For anybody who said, well, you were all believing it's going to be a runaway. Well, no, I didn't really buy into it. But again, Molly Hemingway of The Federalist says the media is also complicit in spreading that message because it was another effort to rig the voting.
We really need to think about how the media are the largest and most unaccountable political activists in the country. Yes, part of it deals with how they handle actual elections and voting and whatnot, but a lot of it is about the years leading up to it, too.
Right.
There are many ways that the media can rig an election by downplaying all of the negatives for their preferred candidate, by ignoring all of the positives of their disfavored candidate, of playing games with polls, of inventing completely fraudulent narratives, such as the Russia collusion hoax, or Anonymous, which was the thing that happened last week where we found out that the media claimed that there was this high-level saboteur
right.
inside the Trump administration,
yeah.
and it was completely false. All of these things are ways of rigging elections.
Yeah, because they're helping carry the water for them and repeating it. And unfortunately, there are those in the public that are going to hear and buy the story. Joe Concha, who's the media reporter for The Hill, said all these polls ended up way overstating support for Joe Biden. And on appearing on Fox and Friends, he said, I saw a poll, I think it was about a month or two ago, that many people are afraid to share their political affiliations with anybody, even if it's just a random person over the phone, because they're afraid of some consequences. And we've seen cancel culture actually take these people out. He said, why does this happen? Is it to create an illusion that perhaps Joe Biden had this huge lead? Why bother going out? It is almost like a psychological suppression of votes in these situations to say, okay, look, Joe Biden is up 17 in Wisconsin. Why even bother? And Concha added, these are the consequences as a result. Yes, they are. It's the same way that in the beginning, some years ago, as soon as the East Coast polls were closing, the numbers were being released, and folks on the West Coast, they're already being told who's won based on what they had on the East Coast. And folks either didn't bother going, to support either the candidate that was truly going to win or the one that was not going to win, but they just decide, ah, no sense me voting, has no value. But again, these pollsters failed. But the message was already out there. They got the message out. It's the proverbial, the horse is out of the barn. You can't get him back in. And Concha was even blasting the polling mythology, and I love his remark. He said, the way they do this polling is as antiquated as my Blockbuster card and my Casio calculator watch. He said, look at the mythology. The way they sampled Democrats, Republicans, 6, 8, 10 points skewed toward Democrats. They did it in 2016. You think they'd learned their lesson. They did it again. He pointed out that pollster John McLaughlin, a Trump pollster, was the closest in the actual results. But at one point, CNN, by these polls, had Biden leading 12 points nationally, 12 points in Michigan, 12 points in Wisconsin. New York Times giving Joe Biden a 70% chance of winning in Florida. Well, how did that shake out? And again, it's not just the polls, but they know they'll get traction, especially if it was going to show a Trump defeat. Were the pollsters ever really interested in giving the facts or just what do we do to defeat Donald Trump? And, of course, you know all the reporters, they've got their sources that tell them exactly what's going on in the White House. A perfect example coming up is Dana Bash of CNN says, I know what the president's thinking. Just listen to this nonsense.
But they never want to leave.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I talked to a source familiar with President Trump's thinking who said that the president is down. Obviously tired, which is understandable, but not feeling all that great, despite the public bluster that we've seen and heard from his campaign, from his children, that the president is seeing what's happening. He is seeing it, that in some of these key states that will determine whether he is president or not, his lead is shrinking. Or if Joe Biden is ahead, you know, notwithstanding what we just saw, this is before that just happened. It's just not looking that good for the president. And the sense from the source that I spoke to is that the president is starting to see this slip away. That's the mood of the president.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's slipping away. And he's just so moody. He's just sitting in the corner. You really believe that? But again, it's one of those anonymous sources, a source inside the White House, much like the guy that wrote the book with the title, using his pseudonym, I should say, Anonymous. And we were sold by the mainstream media, this is a guy inside the White House with top firsthand knowledge of everything. And he comes out the other day and it's revealed who he is, and he had lied to CNN saying he didn't write the book, but he did write the book. And now we all know he was a 20-something year-old lackey. He was given one little assignment, didn't work, they got rid of him. And from that, he suddenly rushed in the arms of social media giant, Google or Facebook, one of the two, and writes this book, a tell-all from inside, but I had to put down anonymous. I didn't want anyone to know it was me. And the reason they didn't want you to know is because if you knew who he was in the beginning, you'd say, that little twerp, he thinks he's going to tell them what's going on in here? He doesn't know anything. The mainstream media buys that, and so Dana, whatever her name is, she wants you to believe the president is so moody, he's tired, obviously, but the man did 14 campaign events in 72 hours. He might be tired, but he hasn't shown it. No, they're still fighting. They're fighting not just for him, but for you, for you. And a ruling just coming out of Michigan where a judge is ruling against the Trump team regarding the ballot counting. The Michigan judge is denying that there are any allegations of tampering going on. Well, that's probably going to go the next level. You know that, obviously. Trump campaign is predicting victory as early as tomorrow. Biden is, of course, indicating he already is. Has a transition team he's already put together. The other thing about all of this going the way it did, it's a good piece written by Joy Pullman, I think, also with the Federalist, pointing out, isn't it interesting? The GOP had a great election night. All the GOP did well pretty much except the president. Pointing out that Republicans flipped 7 U.S. House races so far, Democrats flipping only 2. And when it came to the Senate, Democrats have flipped only 1 seat. And yet for the hundreds of millions of dollars spent to unseat Susan Collins of Maine, not a strong Republican, but she is, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Kentucky, and Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, they all won. All of those folks won, and yet the president, the head of the party, doesn't have that kind of traction? Riddle me this. Do you believe that? Well, wait till you hear some more about Pennsylvania coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. Got a Lincoln motor in it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I had no idea. I was concerned about competency. I had no idea of the partisanship that we would see out of this department. You know, I served with Ed Rendell for 8 years, a former chairman of the Democrat National Committee, and he never approached weaponizing the Department of State during an election cycle as this department has done.
Those are the words of Senator Scarnati, talking about what's happening in his state of Pennsylvania, talking about how instead of just obeying the law and making sure the ballots are properly counted, they started rewriting the laws, and they were rewriting them left and right, working all over it. Now, he's from Pennsylvania's 25th District. He is a Senate President Pro Tem in Pennsylvania. But he says, what we're doing here, I never expected that we would see something like this go down. That we would have the Secretary of State complicit in basically stealing the election, working with Democrat operatives to do what they can. And part of that gets back to that they had fought against a challenge in the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, which is stacked by Democrats, ruled it was okay to continue accepting any ballots that came in because we're just going to assume. We're going to assume they came in maybe a little late, but they were properly mailed before 8 p.m. on Election Day. Even if there's not a date stamp on them, even if there's no evidence of where they actually originated, we're just going to assume that they're all legit and we're going to go ahead and count them. And they're going to do that through tomorrow. They're going to continue counting such ballots through tomorrow. I can almost see them sitting in a room saying, okay, they're getting a little tighter here. We're going to need some more votes to come in. How are we going to do that? Well, we've seen already that they have suddenly votes dropped in, just dumped in, as if they've always been there, but we're just not getting around to them. And in one case, all the votes that came in were 100% for Biden. 100%. Not even one vote for Trump. they're too stupid to know that you really better throw at least a percentage of Trump votes into that thing, because immediately there's suspicion over it. Well, all they were also trying to do is obviously win and give the state to Biden, but also to uphold what they'd been told would happen, and that is that Biden was going to win. That's what all the polls were saying. The polls were making it very clear that Biden was going to win. The polls were all over that, saying that Biden will have it. Biden's got it locked down. In Pennsylvania, they were saying something like he was up 12-plus points, maybe even higher than that at some point. So there's just no way Joe Biden would lose. Come on. Come on, man. I'm not going to lose Pennsylvania. And keep in mind that the attorney general in Pennsylvania, 3 days before the election, 3 days before the election, said, when all the votes are counted, Biden will win. Note when he said, when all the votes are counted. He didn't say when all the legal votes were counted. That's why we've got lawsuits and legal teams on behalf of the Trump team going in and saying we want to take a closer look at this because it's just not right. And yet they're continuing to push forward. Georgia, we're still waiting official numbers, but we're getting the indication that the final ballot count in Georgia is going to be decided by a handful of votes. Now, by handful, I don't know if they're talking about less than six or five, or they're talking about a dozen. I mean, I don't know. And we got Wisconsin facing a recount because there's some real funny stuff that happened with Wisconsin numbers coming in. And then, of course, we have in Michigan questions about what's going on in the Detroit headquarters when they're not allowing poll watchers from Republicans to get close enough to see what they're doing, which they're supposed to do by law. And then we got Arizona, which got called early by Fox and their consultants. While they could not call Florida, they suddenly jumped in and rushed forward with Arizona, giving it to Biden. And, of course, also saying Senator McSally was not going to win her election. Well, she is not conceded yet either. And you almost have to believe, if it's a statewide race, such as a U.S. senator's race or a governor's race, something of that nature in any state, and if the president is running in the same state and they are the same party, that folks didn't suddenly decide, well, I'm going to go for Biden here, but I'm going to go ahead and vote for the Republican senator here. That just doesn't really happen. Molly Hemingway of the Federalist, appearing on Fox News last night, the Laura Ingraham program, was saying these polls, in many cases, are purposely wrong. Listen, please.
The lead up to this election shows that I think that a lot of what they did was intentional. These polls were off by such a great amount that it is, and not all polls. I mean, the media polls were off, but there were a few pollsters who actually got things right, which shows that it was possible to look at this race accurately. But the media narrative that this was an impossible win for Donald Trump, that the Senate was going to the Democrats, that the Democrats would gain more seats in the House, and that they would strengthen their majority, every single part of that was wrong.
It was wrong. Simply wrong. But again, on the election night and during the day and going into it, if you continue to say Trump has no chance. Look, Biden's running away. He's got double-digit numbers here. Maybe only single-digit number here, but way ahead of Trump. No way can he catch Biden. And right now, the Electoral College count stands showing that Joe Biden is just six votes away from 270, the magic number. But that's giving him what they've already put in his column, Wisconsin, 10 electoral votes. And Arizona, 11. There's 21 votes right there. Michigan. And, of course, Georgia. We're waiting for Georgia to come in. And we're getting the impression that, according to some, at least if you want to believe CNN, NNN, and I try to watch all the sources for you, that Biden is gaining on Trump in Pennsylvania. Well, I thought he had that locked down. I thought Pennsylvania was going to be Biden all the time. Well, you know, and I know that wasn't true. But now they're acknowledging, okay, he's been behind, but now he's gaining as more votes are tallied. Surprise, surprise. And Nevada is now saying, our count will last several days. Several days. What does that mean, several days? Nevada has 6 electoral college votes. Nevada may still be hanging in the wind once this is decided anyway, and the vote won't make any difference one way or the other. But when it comes to these polling groups that were out there and trying to say that it was going to be a Joe Biden blowout, were they really intent on doing legitimate polling, or were they setting up a narrative that they knew would be copied and echoed and repeated and blasted and megaphoned by the media? I think you and I know the answer to that. Tom Bevin is a co-founder of Real Clear Politics, and they try to come up with a good average on any polling they did. But he says, we know what was happening with some of these pollsters.
There were 2 sets of pollsters out there. There were 2 different worldviews. There were the Trafalgars and Susquehanna and Insider Advantage that saw this race as very close, saw Donald Trump's support as very solid, and another set of pollsters who saw this idea that it was a Biden blowout, that he was up. They misjudged the electorate, and it was. And then you throw on top of that the media and the pundits, which made the same mistake they made in 2016, which was to ignore and marginalize the information and the data points that they didn't agree with, and glom on to all of the data points that fit into this preconceived narrative.
Yep, that's exactly right. The preconceived narrative. And when it comes to polling, Larry Sabato, who does his own polling as well, who was wrong, professor who predicted a Biden landslide, now is calling for redesign of polling. Redesign? You mean, in other words, actually do it correctly, factually, not trying to sway the audience and the electorate? Redesign a polling. You're doing it right. You don't need to redo it. But he, again, with his poll, had predicted Biden would be in a landslide. No landslide. And, of course, the social media group continues to crack down and do what they can to stop Donald Trump from communicating. I'll explain when we continue.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Let me take a moment and go back to the remarks of Larry Sabato, University of Virginia Center of Politics, forecasting guru, professor, who said pollsters need to, quote, completely redesign what they do. And he added this. He said, I'm delighted that I'm not a pollster, so I can criticize them freely. Look, they're going to have to completely redesign what they do. So he's not a pollster, but his, quote, crystal ball, I don't know how he came up, what was he doing other than sipping something while looking into the crystal ball. That's how he predicted Trump would lose to Biden. Biden finishing with 321 electoral votes compared to only 217 for Trump. Well, the election's still too close to call, but Sabato admits, well, I've seen enough to determine, yes, there was a hidden Trump vote. The pollster's been denying it forever. People in my field have been denying it forever. I think there's clear proof in the two elections, 2016 and 2020. How stupid are these people? You're a professor at the University of Virginia, and you did not believe there's such a thing as a hidden vote of Trumpers who did not want to be identified. They didn't want any signs in their yard. They didn't want any markings on their vehicle because they feared retaliation, and I mean violence. And he says, well, pollsters need to redesign. Now, I pointed out to you previously, Dr. Gerard Lamero, we've had on the air numerous times, had also predicted a major win for Trump, 348 electoral votes. Dr. Lamero appeared with us yesterday, very willingly started in with discussing what happened. And he said, well, I'll have to look at my models again. I thought I had it right like I did last time, but obviously I didn't. So he was willing to come on air and be put in the hot seat. As I said, we need some explaining from you. What happened? He acknowledges he got it wrong. Sabato still apparently won't, I guess, admit that his crystal ball was wrong. It's the pollsters. They didn't do a very good job. Now keep in mind, we still have results being tabulated in Georgia, North Carolina, Nevada, and Pennsylvania. Supposedly in Georgia and North Carolina, Trump has a narrow lead but might be diminishing as they're trying to determine validity of provisional ballots, those ballots that were put aside because maybe they didn't look exactly correct when they came in or what time date did they arrive. And in Nevada, last check, Biden leads but less by 10,000 and 10% of the ballots still outstanding. But if you take away Biden right now is just 6 votes short of the Electoral College number, the threshold of 270. If you take away Georgia and North Carolina that he's going to be counting on, there's 16 for Georgia, 15 for North Carolina. And Pennsylvania would give him 20. Well, let's look at the ones they've already gave him. Arizona, 11. Wisconsin, 10. You take those away, it's not so close anymore. And yet, the Biden campaign is now launching a transition website. That's right. They're rushing forward. They say that the American people determine who will serve as the next president, but the crisis facing our country, severe pandemic, economic recession, climate change, racial injustice, we're going to hit the ground running at full speed. Wonder what they're going to do about China. Wonder what you think they'll have Hunter Biden serve on the transition team to reach out to China? I mean, remember, simply because General Flynn was part of the transition team for Trump, reached out to Russia and said, I know you don't like how you've been treated by the previous administration. Give us a chance. Just hold off on everything. And for that, he was accused of violating federal law, basically acting like he was in charge when he wasn't. All he was doing as part of the transition team, just saying, keep your powder dry, Russia. Please give us a chance to get in place and see what we can work out with you on any differences. We will see at some point down the road, maybe or maybe not. I mean, here's the thing. We wouldn't know any of this stuff behind the scenes that was being pulled against Trump during the election and going into it if Hillary had won. If she had won, we wouldn't know any of this, would we? And, of course, the other thing coming up with Biden, if he ends up winning, there will be one, maybe two more chances to appoint a justice to the Supreme Court. And for that reason, I told you the other day, if I can only win either the White House or Senate, I want the Senate. Because controlling the Senate means no nomination sent down by President Biden, or maybe Harris at that point, is going to be given a green light from the go. We're still trying to save this country. Nancy Pelosi says, well, we might have lost some battles, but we've won the war. I say, Nancy Pelosi, the war is not over. And Nancy, by the way, you'll be lucky, damn lucky, to hold on to your position once the progressive libs get control of the House. All right, we'll see how the votes stack up. Maybe tomorrow we'll know. Maybe not. Still some states who said they were coming in at noon. We haven't seen them yet. Maybe later this afternoon. But we'll be back here again tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.